thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
We are back. It is the Urban Sports Scene. What's up, Wilty?
What's going on? How you doing, man?
You know, I'm good. I'm chilling. The world is good. You know what I mean?
Except for Donald Sterling.
His
world came crashing down.
I know. Man. I feel bad for him. Psych! No, I do not. Donald Sterling, which we will be discussing later in the pregame. But,
we'll give you our opinion, like everyone else.
I know. I feel like he owns the airway right now. It's annoying to me, kind of like I'm sick of the story. Are you? Well, you feel like it's something that needs to be talked about?
I think it needs to be talked about from the perspective of there is a large population of people who think racism doesn't exist. And I think an event like this creates a dialogue, brings it into the open, brings all types of ethnicities to the table and allows them to talk about it. Because, you know, you hear some of the craziest things, some people saying, well, we got a black president. There's no such thing as racism.
Yeah.
That's stupid. There are ignorant people out here who do believe that certain ethnicities and races and cultures are subservient to them. As we've learned on Saturday by Donald Sterling's taped phone calls. And you know, that the whole moral fiber of this thing is just, you know, sucks to how it happened, but we'll go into detail about it later on.
Well, make sure you listen to our homies Voice of the Fans podcast show at www.blogtalkradio.com/The Voice of the Fan. The show is hosted by Alex and Jeff. Our show is syndicated on the internet radio station Real People Real Talk Radio. This site is managed by our good friends from Apple G, so make sure you visit the site. It's www.realpeoplerealtalk.com. And also, our phone lines are open, so call in. The number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Like Will was talking about, Donald Sterling's racist remarks. I don't need to go deep into the situation. Everybody knows about it. Donald Sterling got caught by his girlfriend who taped it, taped him having this discussion, talking about how, I believe, how African-Americans, how he's
He doesn't approve of her
taking pictures with African Americans, so
called flaunting it everywhere.
Exactly, and that African American happened to be my idol, Magic Johnson,
and Matt Kemp.
Well, yeah, Matt Kemp's cool. He's all right. I'm talking about Magic Johnson. Okay, Magic Johnson, which is funny, you know, and you know, you hear people have the same argument, but I really believe it. Of all black people to be like threatened, or just feel like, you know, he didn't that this person has no class. He's talking about Magic Johnson, a well respected African American. Obviously a Hall of Famer, awesome businessman, a guy who is about giving back to his community, and he has an issue with this guy. Because he's black, obviously, honestly.
I have so many issues with this thing on so many levels. First, let's start at the first one. First, the guy's still married, and he has a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I think that's issue number one that no one discusses or brings up in the first place. That just lets you know just how our society has gone to ish, because people, no one cares about that. Second, she taped his phone calls without his knowledge. So obviously, you know, this woman had either a vendetta against him, was trying to ensure that she's paid once they break off their arrangement, or she's either a professional being a call girl or something like that. Another thing that disturbs me about the whole situation, the NAACP was about to give him a second Lifetime Achievement Award in L.A.
Let me start about that one.
This is the National Association for Advancement for Colored People, and you're giving this guy a second Lifetime Award, even though we know that he's gone through litigation with Elgin Baylor, and Elgin Baylor pretty much flat out called him a racist. Mm-hmm. If you looked at the transcript of their litigation, then also this guy was sued. He paid the biggest settlement to the Justice Department, $2.7 million, I believe, for being a slumlord who discriminated against African Americans and other ethnicities.
Was it Bahami Jones? His rant about Donald Sterling.
Yeah.
Oh, that was something special. He made sense. He wrote this story a while ago about it.
He wrote the story, if I'm correct, I believe like 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Essentially calling out Donald Sterling after the litigation of the after the settlement of the discrimination suit with the Justice Department. Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with him. I think the one thing that kind of that gets lost in all of this, mm-hmm. The players are held to a high moral standard because they represent the NBA. And I always believe that when you're in management or ownership, you have an even higher level of accountability because it's yours. Mm-hmm. You're the leader. You're the boss. People take cues from you. When it came out about his settlement with the Justice Department and the remarks that he made about the discriminatory remarks and thoughts about African Americans and other ethnicities, why wasn't he reviewed then by David Stern?
Exactly.
That's one thing that kind of gets in my craw. And the second thing, when Elgin Baylor made these statements under oath that Donald Sterling, some of his remarks, why wasn't he investigated then? So that's two times you have that when there's smoke, there's fire. Now it takes his girlfriend recording calls illegally and then it being sold to TMZ and Deadspin and being put everywhere. And, kind of we're in the social media age with everyone in the uproar and Twitter and Facebook. Mm-hmm. It comes to that, it comes to that for him to be reprimanded, which to me is kind of it's a sad state that we're in, because trust me, if there were I'm not going to go down that line. Kobe Bryant said a slur against homosexuals. Mm-hmm. He was fined immediately, $25,000. Why wasn't when things were brought up in Donald Sterling's past, he wasn't investigated more, mm-hmm. and wasn't fined or had to pay some atonement for his actions? That's the one thing that really bothers me about this situation.
Well, for me, what annoys me is like what you're referring to is the past stuff that happened and how now some of these individuals are now acting like, oh, it's a shock. They're shocked. Like Doc Rivers, for instance. Doc Rivers chose to work for this dude. You already knew that this dude was a racist. We are the public. So we're not in the NBA circle. These individuals are in the NBA circle, meaning that Doc Rivers got out of Boston to go to play to coach for the Clippers. So he knew who his boss was. He knew, he knew his character. Donald Sterling has always been an individual who we've known as a cheap owner. Didn't like spending money. Had that franchise look horrible for years till they were pressured to be competitive. Now, and then like you said, you named the past in terms of his the stuff that happened in his background within race. So you know this. The NBA owners know this. David Stern knew this. Mark Cuban, who's acting appalled, knew about this. So now when it's out there on blast, because like his side piece, his girlfriend, whatever, who put him out there, is now everybody sees it. I mean, everybody heard it. Now it's like, oh my God, I can't believe Donald Sterling is this kind of individual. Like he has this blatant racism. You're an NBA owner. You knew this is in his past. You knew this. You knew this about him. So why don't my thing is don't act shocked. Just say, okay, well, I'm disappointed in Donald Sterling, and that's it. Just keep it like that.
Yeah, it's kind of I was having a conversation on the phone on my way over to the studio, mm-hmm. and I told
studio,
and I was telling my friend I equated it to this. It's kind of like a guy who knows his girlfriend is cheating. He hears everyone saying that she's cheating. He doesn't want to. He believes it, but he doesn't want to believe it. Mm-hmm. But then when he walks in the house, sees her in the bed, butt naked. Oh, snap. With another dude laying down with her. Oh, snap. She's been cheating.
Yeah.
Everyone's been telling you she's been cheating. You just chose not to believe it until you saw it with your eyes. Mm-hmm. But in this occasion, it's the world chose not to believe it until they heard it with their ears, till they heard the illegal recording by his girlfriend.
Well, Donald Sterling has now, he's been banned from the NBA now.
He's been banned, and they're trying to pressure him. Adam Silver is going to making a suggestion to the Board of Governors, the other 29 owners that they vote to push Donald Sterling out.
Which I see. They need about 75%.
So they need 22. What would be interesting to me is if they do go along with this vote, I want to know how everyone votes.
I think Mark Cuban, from what I've heard, Mark Cuban said, you know, I didn't hear him say it, but I think I heard on the radio on the ride coming in that Mark Cuban said that it's, you know, we can't have somebody shouldn't be able to lose their team for saying something stupid.
Well, he said that prior to today.
Prior to today.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope, and it is true. Uh-huh. That is true because you know you set precedent. Who's to say that there isn't someone who's having a player, a coach, who's having a conversation that they think in the comfort of their confines of their home with someone, and someone starts to tape record something, and maybe a joke, maybe you're in a circle and you know your friends, you joke a certain way.
Yeah, that's true.
And everyone feels comfortable about it, but that's exposed to everyone else in public.
But I don't,
and then you
that conversation was totally different.
Yeah, that's but that conversation. But you're starting to set precedence, and it's a slippery slope. And I do understand what Mark Cuban was getting at. But ultimately, in the end, you can't have someone in ownership who feels this way about his players or his employees, because to be honest with you, it's almost like a slave master mentality.
There you go. I mean, I know people
don't want to hear it. It's you know, truth. Even though they're getting paid millions of dollars, but it's almost
you working
it's,
for the man.
Yeah, it's a slave master mentality.
Yeah, and that's how he feels. If he feels that way about you, you got to think about it. The NBA is predominantly African American. It's a predominant African American sport. It is what it is. Okay, owners happen to be Caucasian. They're white.
All except for I think Michael Jordan's the only majority owner who's African American.
Exactly. So they're basically working for him, and for that guy to think that small of that race, knowing that his team is a predominantly black team, it's ridiculous, you know. And you have to feel a particular way. I always say this too as well. It's hard. We're in a situation, in a position that, you know, African Americans in terms of ownership in sport, in pro sports, we don't have a seat at the table. Michael Jordan, okay, it's one, that's fine. We don't really have a real true seat at the table. All right, to a point where we can say, oh, multiple owners who are African American. So this doesn't surprise me. You know, especially we're talking about old white individuals who probably, you know, and we know, you know, just being black individuals, that even older black people have a particular thought process of white people.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. So it's always in that range. If you're like an 80-year-old black or white person, you have your own particular beliefs.
I tell people all the time, if you want to meet some of the most racist people, go down south and meet a 80-year-old African-American male or 80-year-old white male.
Yeah.
Those totally are some agree. Of the most racist. And I'm not going to say all of them.
Yeah, not all.
In my life and when I've encountered, they may, because of their views on and how they were treated.
And what they experienced.
They may be some of the most racist people you ever meet. They haven't progressed past some of the hurt and pain. And I can't tell them not to or yeah. to. Mm-hmm. But they still hold resentment and hold negative feelings towards the opposite race.
So do you feel that the Clippers should play and should play in this game or not tonight's game? Do you think our last game? Let's go to the last game. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Should they have played that game against Golden State? If it was you, if you were a player, would you have played?
If
that
I was
game?
A player, would I have played that game?
And be real too.
No.
You wouldn't have played?
Wow. No, I wouldn't have played.
Me and you are totally different.
I wouldn't have played.
All right.
I wouldn't have played. I'm a person who has
Well, you have ditched. You ditched the Philadelphia Eagles, so I did.
I do things on principle. I'm a very high principle guy. So, you know, no, I probably wouldn't have played if I were still on the Clippers. And if the season ended, let's say they were exited out of the playoffs, and by the beginning of next season, Donald Sterling was still an owner, I would say I would sue the league to make me a free agent.
Go into that, please. More information on that, please. More detail.
Because I would feel it's a hazardous work environment, because I have to work for an owner who feels and has articulated that he feels that not only me but my race are beneath him. So on that statement, these facts, I would petition Adam Silver and the Players Association to make me a free agent, so I can leave and exit and find me another team. Because I signed under the premise, and I'm pretty sure there's some type of clause. I'm sure a brilliant lawyer can litigate that. Him being a racist and coming out with those terms is a harsh working environment. And I can get out of my contract and become a free agent and sign somewhere else. I will refuse, as long as Donald Sterling is the owner, I will refuse to suit up and play. But you're going to pay me, though. You're still going to pay me.
Pay me what you owe me.
You're going to pay me what you owe me.
I mean, you know, I was on the show this morning while I was at work. You know what I do, double duty. you know, I got that good old job. I won't say what kind of job I have, but Uncle Sam loves me.
You're a fool.
Hey, but no, I had the same discussion. I would actually play. You know, for me, the reason why I would play is not for Donald Sterling, because he has nothing to do with me. Period. It's for the brotherhood of that team. It's that team. I'm playing. My goal is to win an NBA championship, right? And I'm not doing it for the Clippers. I'm doing it for me. Like that's a goal. I trained 24/7. I played 82 games, period. I played for me and my brothers to win an NBA championship. I'm not worried about the Clippers. I'm usually solely on me. I'm not worried about Donald Sterling, whatever. It's an accomplishment for me. I don't even care what he's done. You know what I mean? He pays me. He gave me my money. That's all I'm worried about. The only thing I look at you is you giving me my money. All right, period. I am playing for, like, and I'm not. If I'm Chris Paul, I'm playing for Blake Griffin. I'm playing for DeAndre Jordan. I'm playing for Matt Barnes. I'm playing for everybody. Now, if everybody comes together and say everybody comes together and say, all right, the whole family's like, all right, well, we all dropping out. We can't handle it. Then I'm like, all right, well, I got to drop out too. But if the majority of the team is like, you know what, we played together. We bonded. We played 82 games this season. We did training camp. We trained for this. Like, we had our mindset that we're going to win the championship. Matter of fact, we took over L.A. We took over L.A. together. You know what I mean? Like, this is the Lakers town. We took this over. And then all of a sudden now, because of an ignorant individual, I have to now forget about all the trials and tribulations, all the hard work I put into this season. And I got to play.
I respect that. I do. But first thing first. I'm a man first.
Yes, Mr. Right here.
I'm an African American second. And third, I'm a representative of my family.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. My family has marched on Washington. Mm-hmm. My family has roots in the South, so they went through some things.
Yeah, I got you.
So me personally, I represent my family. For that reason first and that reason only, I wouldn't play. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't play. I wouldn't make a big deal out of it. I wouldn't hold a press conference. I would just tell Doc Rivers, tell him my ankle's broken.
Yeah.
I'm out for the season.
Yeah, I hear you.
Because I refuse to play while he's the owner. No, that's just me.
Yeah, I don't knock anybody. I don't knock folks who have that stance. I don't know. But I have a problem, though, with the people who look down upon the individuals who did decide to play.
Oh, no. I have no.
Because there are people who feel like they shouldn't have played. No. And I hear that. And I'm like, these dudes, like, you didn't work. Like, you didn't do what they did.
Yeah, you didn't put in the work. You didn't put in the hours.
Forget, I'm not even talking about the 82-game season. I'm talking about before the season started. These dudes were training their bodies, getting conditioned for a full NBA season. All right? They are hitting. Now, you have individuals basically putting their bodies through war to make sure they're in a position to win a championship. Look at Blake Griffin. Look at the effort he put in this game this season compared to what he was last season.
Absolutely,
you know he put in work for this season. You gonna take that away from Blake Griffin? His goal was to be not just obviously the best power forward in the game, but to be a champion.
I totally agree.
You know what I mean?
You.
So for the individuals to complain and say, "Well, I can't believe the Clippers played in that game," or they shouldn't play in the next game. I'm like, dude, Like, they worked.
Nah, yeah, these same people, they need to get off of their high horse, because if the shoe was on the other foot, let them be employed at a place and hear a manager or the owner make a derogatory racial comment. Mm-hmm. They'll go to HR, but they'll still continue to work. So, I have no qualms with the players deciding to hold their protest by flipping their warm-ups inside out and playing the game. No problem at all.
All right. About that protest?
That was weak.
That was weak. I'm sorry. It was weak to you too, right? Weak. I thought it was weak. I was like, all right, if you're going to do a protest, then don't play. Like, that's the protest. That's the only protest that means something to me, and to be honest with you. If just don't play.
Yeah, I don't. I don't side with the passive aggressive.
Yeah.
If you're going to go all the way. I understand, you know, you playing wearing the black socks. That's cool. I respect that. But if you're going to do it, go balls to the wall. Just have the equipment managers take clippers off of my jersey.
That's what I was thinking, too. Like, that's
have
the thing.
Take clippers off of my jersey. Just play with my name, my last name, and my number on the back. If you want to do it, that's how I would do it. I wouldn't have done that.
What I would have done, what I was thinking, what they should have done is not even like that. I mean, it'd be some homemade type stuff. Like, I would have just put like black tape over clippers. You wouldn't see the clippers. Like, that wouldn't be a sign. If they couldn't take off the stitches, if that was too hard, it would have been some black tape, and I would have took the fine. That's what I would have took the fine. I wouldn't be recognized as Donald Sterling, a member of Donald Sterling's team. I would disrespect the jersey of Donald Sterling. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's what I would have done.
I totally agree with you. I would have done the same thing. I would have went to the equipment managers, and I would have said, how long will it take you to take these letters, clippers, or take any insignia with the LA Clippers off of my jersey and just leave my last name and my number? That's what I would have done.
Yeah, but I'm happy. Obviously, I am happy to a certain extent that, you know, he's banned. Well, I do believe he's going to fight this in the court system.
Absolutely, he's a lawyer.
He's not going to give in like that. And I wouldn't, honestly, if I was the owner of the team and something chaotic happened to me like that, I wouldn't quit either.
No, this is
because I own the team. I'm like, I own this team. You ain't going to take it out. You going to take it away from me.
And this is the scary part for the NBA. He's the longest tenured owner. So he knows things. He knows secrets. He can make this very messy if it gets into the open court. So. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I just know if you're asking me if I'm a player, cool, I understand it's going to take some time for you to get Donald Sterling gone, and I respect that. Mm-hmm. You got into the start of next season. If he is still an owner by the start of next season,
I'm
petitioning to become a free agent.
No, I'm with you on that, though. That I do agree with to a point. Like, if he's the owner next season for this team, if anything fluke happens and he's the owner, I'm not playing for that team.
Me neither.
At the beginning of the season, because it's the beginning of the season. I'm not playing for him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not. I will refuse to even step on the court.
You know, you have some people say, well, why would you play for him now, but would you wouldn't play for him?
It's due process.
Yeah. It's due process. You got to let due process play out. The punishment was handed out, and I respect that.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to let it do the due process, and I'm going to let it play out. But if he's the owner next season, you're going to have to trade me or make me a free agent
because
I am not setting foot on that court.
Because it goes to what I said earlier, you know, this happened. Now I'm going to have I know it happened. I'm not playing for that guy. Like, I'm not playing for that guy. I'm not busting my butt getting myself ready and amped for the season for that guy. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I did it without knowing, and my team, and we all did it together, and I was doing it for my brothers. But I'm not doing it. Before the season starts, before I'm putting work for that guy, I'm not doing it for him. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. Magic Johnson may be the owner for that team. Magic, don't own the Clippers, man. That would hurt. Just that would hurt me. Wow, you're yellow and you're yellow purple, man. Just don't try to buy the Clippers. That's disrespectful. All right, that's disrespectful. If anything, we could trade the buses over to the Clippers. Have you own the Lakers? But you do not. And I mean this, Magic. Excuse me. I will tweet you. I will be on your Facebook page. I will make sure that I will have some type of comment stating that you do not, and I mean do not, and will not try to buy the Clippers. That's disrespectful. You're Magic Johnson. L.A. Laker Magic Johnson. Don't ever forget that. Showtime. There's no Showtime in Clipperland. All right, down to pregame. Manny Pacquiao and Canelo Alvarez are in talks for a possible fight.
Where'd you hear this at?
Oh, you didn't hear that? It was on ESPN. You didn't hear that?
No, I know.
It was on a little ticker. I saw that a while ago.
I know that Oscar De La Hoya is trying to mend fences with Bob Arum in Top Rank. If that would need to happen. But if Manny Pacquiao and Canelo Alvarez were to fight, it wouldn't be a total blowout like you saw with Canelo Alvarez versus Floyd Mayweather Jr.
It's a potential bombing fight, though. I know that much.
No, it would be an all-action fight just because of this. Canelo would have to drain himself again. Probably have to come in at 152 or 150 for the fight to happen just because of how small Manny Pacquiao is. But if it does happen, I would be ecstatic because that would be kind of, the breaking of the tension between the two camps, between Golden Boy and Top Rank. People would get excited because they would say, oh, they're doing business again. You could see a Manny Pacquiao.
And that's all about that's, it.
And that wouldn't happen. it wouldn't happen for the simple fact that A, Floyd Mayweather still maintains a grudge. B,
a grudge on your Bob and Bob
against
Arum.
Bob Arum. Okay. B, Al Haymon and Bob Arum absolutely hate each other. Mm-hmm. And C, Richard Schaefer, I really don't. I'll definitely go with those first two reasons for sure why I wouldn't see a Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao fight happen. And unless it was so much money that it would be split 60-40 towards Floyd Mayweather at the least. If it does happen, if Canelo Alvarez and Manny Pacquiao fight, I would be ecstatic and it would be an all action fight and it would do at least 1 point
easily. I would love to see the fight. Just because the styles, it's something that you, it's both aggressive, both power punchers. Canelo more of a power puncher nowadays than Manny Pacquiao. He has knocked out an individual in like how long? It's a fight. Honestly, if Pacquiao definitely is set up. If he fights Canelo and beats a Canelo Alvarez, the public would be chambering for be like. Going crazy for Floyd Mayweather. Have to go down to me. I think it would put the pressure on Floyd to definitely make it happen.
Nah,
in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think he would easily fold to that pressure unless he's getting compensated well. And he would, and by well, I mean he would have a $150 million purse. $100 million purse.
And I actually think, and be honest with you, I think he would get that. You know what I mean? And within this fight, because I think the market's staying on Pacquiao. Rack does beat a Canelo Alvarez. Say he does, and like, God, I mean, I don't think we'll sell Canelo Alvarez. Now Pacquiao is on that. You're damn near even playing. Well, maybe I should get back to that.
People would say this. Would say, well, Pacquiao knocked him out. Floyd Mayweather didn't knock him out.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That people would that
they would go back to that.
It would be the
box.
Hype and. People will be clamoring for the fight.
Yeah.
Now, I understand. But, no, if the fight happens, I think it would be amazing. It would be great for boxing, for sports in general. But if I had to put a percent in, 35%.
All right. I'm going to feel this big fight because, it's having Cinco de Mayo weekend. I want to still talk about Will's blog. It's actually on the Urban Sports Scene blog site. Views. Haven't had a comment yet, but there's a lot of views, so you know you're doing something well. Check out the blog. It's on Will's two blogs, one on Sean Porter. And obviously, the Bernard Hopkins returning to D.C. For her historic event. Check out the site. Check out the blog site. It's www.urbansportscene.blogspot.com. Urban Sports Scene is spelled U-R-B-A-N. And just S-C-E-N-E. Scene. You know, there's no two S's. It's S-C-E-N-E. No, and make sure that folks know about it.
Okay.
Will T has to, read Will T's blog and... give him a comment or two, man. It's one of the premier blogs. I'm biased. I'm biased. It's my homie. I'm biased, and I was very impressed with his work. So make sure you all read it. It's also another boxing website.
EastsideBoxing.com
exactly.
And the Pugilist Corner.
Exactly. So Wilter,
I'll be on Eastside Boxing on like a pre-fight analysis for every fight.
That's what I'm talking
this
about.
Saturday. So that'll be done. That should be posted. It'll be posted on the Pugilist Corner. By Friday, Eastside Boxing will probably be done by Saturday morning.
So you check. Make sure you check it out and comment on it. It's good work. I vouch for it. We are back on the air. I am so sorry.
Had technical difficulties. But super producer, Wally, fixed it.
Yeah, I did fix it, so we're back on. But let's talk about Saturday. Mayweather Jr. takes on Marcos Maidana, Cinco de Mayo weekend.
Yeah, as we all know, Floyd Mayweather, for the past 5-7 years, likes to fight on Cinco de Mayo because it's one of the higher netting boxing dates. You know, Mexican holiday. Everyone knows, well, not everyone, but most people know that Mexicans are a majority of ethnicity that buys pay-per-view and really loves boxing. So, you know, Floyd Mayweather typically gets a Latino or Mexican fighter, fights that weekend, makes a lot of money.
Beats him down.
And this may be a little bit different if Marcos Maidana is able to get to him and touch him in the body a couple times, because Maidana likes to come forward. He's not a guy that's going to be frustrated by Floyd Mayweather's speed. He's going to keep coming forward, keep trying to touch him to the body. But ultimately, we all know what's going to happen. First round, Floyd Mayweather try to fill him out, won't throw a lot of punches. He'll, you know, try to initiate the range with his jab, throw a couple of lead left hooks, right hooks. Second round, he'll step it up. You know, Maidana still come forward. Then third, from 3 through 12, it'll be another masterful shutout by Floyd Mayweather.
It'll be an ass whooping.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's going to be a taxing for the asking.
But, you know what I mean? But luckily on this, it's a pretty stacked card, because you have on the undercard, you have Amir Khan fighting as the co-feature, and then you have Adrian Bronner also on the undercard. So
kudos to Floyd Mayweather Jr. for giving us a good undercard, because this matchup really is so lopsided to me. This would be, if Maidana wins this fight, it'd be the upset of the world. I mean, it'd be the shock of the world. I mean, really shocking the world. Muhammad Ali said this would really be shocking the world.
Yeah, I don't anticipate that happening. Like I said, Maidana will come forward. He'll try to bully him. He'll you know, for a couple of rounds. He might find a spot with his, you know, with his left hook, but this won't be competitive at all.
Yeah, I totally agree. Down the pregame, Seattle Seahawks have signed up Earl Thomas.
4 years, $40 million. He totally deserves it. He's, if not the best, one of the top three best safeties in the league.
Oh, I think he's the best safety in football.
Yeah, I think he's safety too. You know, just for those who out there who have a different opinion.
Their opinions don't matter.
But no, he totally deserved it. I'll never forget that draft night. I think it was 2008 when I was an Eagles fan and the Eagles had moved up. And I thought they were going to draft him, but they got Brandon Graham. You see how that worked out for him?
Oh, they got Brandon Graham over Earl Thomas?
Yeah, they moved up, and I was – because I never forget it. We were at – what was it? Buffalo Wild Wings watching it.
Who's we?
Us. All of us, yeah. It was.
We were?
Buffalo Wild – yeah, this was like the first time where they had it on third – the first round on Thursday
night.
Oh,
yeah, you're right. We were. Okay, I got you.
And I was excited, and I was like, yes.
Was it Ray there?
Yeah.
Though?
Yeah, okay. Ray. Okay. I was like, yes. I was excited. The Eagles moved up. They're going to get Earl Thomas. Then they said Brandon Graham, and I was like, what the f- is going on?
And as a Michigan fan, Brandon Graham is one of the most exciting outside linebackers to ever grace the field in the
sure
NFL.
Sure was. Okay. Next.
And down on the pregame, Bryce Harper will be out till July with thumb surgery. I think he broke his thumb.
I'm not surprised. You know, Bryce Harper, he's a guy who plays 100% all the time, balls to the wall.
Yeah, he does.
But sometimes you got to know when to pull back just a little bit, just for the sake of maintaining your health, because we all know how important he is to this team. You know, last year when he was out of the lineup, the team went through a slump. I think people play off of his energy, his tenacity, his ferociousness. Get well soon. See you back in July. But maybe it'll be good for him. Maybe this will make him learn to pull back a little bit and not be as so reckless.
I think this will be good for Bryce Harper. Only in this way, he gets opportunity. He gets time to rest. Look at his teammates play. Maybe he'll get to pick up some things, see what pitchers are doing, work on technique, work on approach, and he'll probably can come back even a little bit more wiser. So, yeah, Bryce Harper, get well soon. Your Nats fans are looking forward to seeing you on the field. I'm an Orioles fan, so I really don't give two you-know-whats about it. But I do want Bryce Harper to be successful. I think any young kid, and he's very important to baseball because he's part of the new generation. So Bryce Harper, get healthy. Anyway, it's about that time for commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking about the NBA playoffs. The Wizards now up 3-1 against the Chicago Bulls. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Morning, it's me, Magic Johnson here. I won 5 NBA championships and Olympic gold medal. So I'm calling the shots today. Get up out of bed, into school, try hard, do well. School got me to where I am today. So be there every single day. And of course, give it your best shot.
This one's for you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. With my arms out wide, I open my eyes. And now all I wanna see is a sky full of lighters. A sky full of lighters.
By the time you hear this, I will have already spiraled up. I would never do nothing to let you cowards f*** my world up. If I was you, I would duck or get struck like lightning fighters keep fighting.
Tell him, M. Yeah, back from commercial break. You can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.walio.podbean.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Crit Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Still a Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Still a Fan. Again, our phone lines are up, so please call in. The number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904.
All right, we're back. As Wally has let you all know, now we're talking Wizards in the NBA playoffs. It's been a long time since this city has had this feeling.
I know. They feel real good right now.
Yeah.
Overly excited.
Yeah, the Wizards are up 3-1 in the series. Game 5 is just tipped off. Don't have a feed for the score for you.
Yeah, because we have the TV off. We try to focus on the show.
Yeah, we're focusing on the show. But this being Game 5,
I am the absolute worst in life.
I think this team needs to approach Game 5 with a high level of urgency to close it out in Chicago. Me personally, I feel more comfortable of the Wizards being able to close it out on the road.
Because they've been a good road team the whole season.
Opposed to at home. They just need to go ahead and close it out. You obviously have this team on the ropes. Nene was out of Game 4 because of his suspension. The headbutt with Jimmy Butler and then trying to grab his neck. I don't know what all of that was about.
Nene think he a thug.
He must have thought he was doing MMA.
I don't know.
Trying to go for a takedown or something.
Was Nene like this before though? I ain't never seen Nene. He doing the Nene. The Nene. You know that dance? I keep thinking of the white boy. The white boy from Mercer who hit the Nene. That thing was like that. That kid is the best. If I can get him on the Urban Sports Scene, I would love to interview him. You know, seriously.
Yeah, see where he came up with that dance from.
Yeah. No, it's a popular dance. It's called the Nene.
Oh, okay.
My little sister was like, Wally. I was like, what the hell is that dance? She's called, it's the Nene, Wally. I'm like, the what? The Nene. Little kids know everything. Kids know everything.
Oh, okay.
My sister's like 25, but still. It's like, they know everything.
But, I think that Wizards need to approach this game with a sense of urgency tonight to close this thing out. For the simple fact that if Indiana is going to pull it out in that series, and they'll have to play the winner of Indiana and Atlanta, if Indiana is going to pull it out, they're going to need 2 games. Atlanta is going to need another tough game for them to pull it out. So you close it out tonight, and you go into the second round well-rested, no matter who, if you play a hot Atlanta team or you play a slumping Indiana Pacers team that has the size and the ability to be physical with you, although they haven't been able to do it in the first round.
Yeah. The Wizards still have to take business in this game, take care of business in this game. So I'm not going to get into the next games right now because the Bulls are going to play hard. All right, I know last week we were like, the Bulls are going, we're going to win that game. The series is going to be tied 1-1. I think both of us said that.
Yeah.
And Wizards have surprised us. They just have been the better team, period.
They've dominated. They should have won game three.
Yeah, they dominated. They've dominated this series. But at the same time, the grit of the Chicago Bulls, I just can't see them backing down like this. Don't forget last season, they were down 3-1 to Brooklyn, and they came back and won that series. So it can still happen. Now, Grant, again, this Wizard team has a lot going for them. They have two physical bigs. John Wall and Bradley Beal, the best two players.
I would say they have one physical big.
One is playing physical. Yes. Nene Salt, but he's playing physical.
Okay.
You know, from what I heard.
Okay.
I really haven't been watching the series. Wizards. I don't make my way out to watch the Wizards play.
Okay. No problem with that.
It's okay. I'm sorry. I didn't like Liddell Echols growing up. But they had, like I said, they had Bradley Beal and John Wall, the two best players on the floor. And also, you know, Trevor Reeves has been big. He's been very clutch, dropping buckets.
Trevor Reeves has been playing out of his mind.
I know. I don't know when he started getting a three ball like this, but, you know, he's been a very good – I mean, throughout the whole season, he's been shooting the three well. But so this team has this – I want to say this team – I expect this team to win this game tonight, but I just see Chicago putting more fight.
One player they haven't used that I'm surprised they haven't used, and he was a middle of the season acquisition. Jimmer Fredette. Jimmer Fredette.
They should use him.
Yeah,
he's a scorer.
He's a scorer. He provides fence.
They need some scoring.
They need scoring. When they go through those 8-minute droughts, you know, put Jimmer Fredette on the floor with a Kurt Heinrich. Both of them don't have the foot potentially keep up with.
They're at a point right now. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Will. I'm
cutting John Wall and Bradley Beal. But if you're down 3-1, you have to try to find someone on that bench that's going to give you a spark outside of Taj Gibson. And another thing, why the hell is still starting and Taj Gibson is still coming off the bench?
It's this whole thing that people think they need some punch off the bench. When I'm a fan of this, and I hate the whole premise that we need to have just play your best five. Play your best five. Obviously, having him on the bench isn't giving you W's. It's not.
Yeah.
You might as well start him and try to off the bat. You want to start quick. The Bulls are in a situation where they need to start quick. They can't have the Wizards, especially in Chicago, they can't have the Wizards just hovering or have a lead going into the third quarter or going into the fourth. By that time, the Wizards are confident. They're like, okay, we can take this game. We got the better players. What the Bulls need to do is they need to start off quick, squash the Wizards' confidence, so that way that, all right, it gets to the point where they do get to the third and fourth quarter, the Wizards are like, okay, well, we got a game in D.C. We can take one in D.C.
Yeah,
that's what the Bulls need to do.
I totally agree with you. They need to get Dunleavy off early. You need to – that didn't sound right.
Yeah,
off
early.
You need Mike Dunleavy Jr.
Jeremy Sporsay could turn porno-ish, I swear.
You need Mike Dunleavy Jr. to come in and establish himself offensively. Yeah. That sounds better. And then you need to bring Jimmer Fredette in sometime in the 4-minute range of the first quarter to see be able to give you anything, and also see if defensively he's able to keep up with the Wizards' guards. But
a lot during the season, or they just had him on the bench.
They had him on the bench for acquiring him was instant offense off the bench. I thought that's what I thought. It's playoffs. Maybe Jimmer. We all know Jimmer play the best defense.
He doesn't. And, you know, Tibbs is about defense.
Yeah, and we all know that he isn't the best ball handler. So you would have a very small backcourt if you went with
DJ Augustine.
DJ Augustine and him, or even Kurt Heinrich and him.
But you know what? At the end of the day, though, with the Jimmer, what you're playing with the Wizards, you're not playing against post up guards. Bradley Miller, yeah, but he's not really getting that many. I mean, Andre Miller's not getting influential compared to John Wall. Don't get me wrong, he gets in the game. If he's getting buckets, okay. Right now, honestly, the Bulls should want Andre Miller to dominate the game. Like, that's what they should want. They don't want the bigs of the Wizards to dominate the game, and that's what's been going on.
Yeah, what you should try to do is go at John Wall trouble early, then make them bring and make him play a bunch of minutes, because at that point it becomes a half court game. But the Chicago Bulls thrive defense.
Yeah, but like Will said, you know, obviously the Wizards. I feel like I agree with you. The Wizards need to treat this game as like the games, like this. You know what I mean? Come that mentality, do or die. Like, you must have this game. I think that's why Nene was about to choke out Hillbilly Butler, because I think he was thinking that, well, if I lose this, I ain't gonna have this dude take my cornbread type thing. Nene thought he was like in jail or something. I don't know. Anyway, we mentioned the last show, but I think it's time to kind of to it. Do they really have a legitimate in conference finals? It's looking like it. At first, it was like ha ha ha. Now it's like
more, as, you know, as play is becoming increasing that this has a chance, just because if they play Atlanta, they'll be able to be more physical than Atlanta. With Atlanta is a jump perimeter orientated team, so they have the bigs to kind of, and also the Wizards guards are able to close out on those 3-point shots. So Atlanta isn't going to get a lot of open threes if they play Atlanta. And this team's happen.
We can talk about the Indiana.
Yeah, I really don't know what happened with Indiana. Roy Hibbert. It's becoming evident, as I've always stated, that Paul George is a star player, not a superstar player, because a superstar player would put the team on their back and would take you to a first round win in this series. So the Wizards actually have a legitimate chance when they are able to close it out against Chicago. It isn't over by far.
Mm-hmm.
They have a legitimate chance to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I think they do. I mean, to me, they have an opportunity. That, honestly, to be real with you, Charlotte, so obviously they're the best team like in the East. But
absolutely,
they're like honestly the second best team in the Eastern Conference. If we're just going off the eye test.
Yeah, if we're going off of how they play, the Wizards have been exceptional. You know, and also on a side note, for me, it felt great that Sunday afternoon, the Wizards were on national TV.
Didn't it feel good?
It felt great.
It felt good to see that. And I'm not even a Wizards fan.
Yeah,
and
I'm someone who it felt great.
For somebody like you, I know. For me, it was like, wow. It's like
Rico calling the game at the Verizon Center. Yeah. It just felt big time.
Mike Tirico, like that's what we're going with now.
Yeah,
Mike Tirico.
He calls all of the big national games.
No, I take that back. You should feel good when the TNT has the Wizards on TV. That's what you really should feel good when TNT.
Yeah, like tonight.
Right now, tonight, Steve Kerr and folks. Steve Kerr right now is covering and Marv. Marv and Steve Kerr are covering the Washington Wizards.
Marv going to get freaky in that hotel room.
Damn, Marv. He's bringing it back. What was that scandal again? What was that?
Yeah, he bit a woman.
Well, he bit a woman. He liked it rough.
He likes it rough.
He likes it rough and tough. That don't sound right.
All types are wrong. All right, but as we know, Ernie and Randy Whitman, they're in the last year of their contracts.
Mm-hmm.
If this team does get to the Eastern Conference Final, well, I think it's a far gone conclusion that they'll be re-signed, you know, because of the success they're having in the playoffs. Do you see them signing big long-term contracts, or do you just see them signing contracts?
I think right now, you know, I'm not a fan of Randy Whitman at times. I do respect what he's done, but I'm not a fan of him. I think there's certain things he does that's wrong, like how he's treated my man Otto Porter, but that's neither here or there. And also, the I think his rotations are kind of – they lack at times. Like Seraphin should play sometimes. Like, I feel like he's disrespected Seraphin. But – With all that, he deserves a lengthy contract extension. He does. He does. I mean, this team is a playoff team. They have a chance to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I know. I'm jumping one team and just leapfrogging. But still, at the same time, who would have thought that the Wizards are now in a position that if they can get to the second round, even are a viable threat to get to an Eastern Conference Final? You know what I mean? Even the great Gilbert Arenas and Larry Hughes and Antoine Jameson couldn't get this team past the second round.
Okay, I'm going to preface. I agree with you to a certain extent. I'm going to preface this by saying this is a weak Eastern Conference.
That's true.
I'm also going to preface my statements by saying Ernie Grunfeld is the guy who's burnt it down and built it right back up.
Wow. You giving Ernie some credit?
I'm giving him a little bit of credit, okay. Not a whole lot.
Oh, wow. This is the first. I'm going to shed a tear.
I think that 2-year contracts for both of them with a club option for a third year is in order for both of them.
Okay.
For the simple fact that, all right, if you're from the perspective of Ernie Grunfeld, you've effed up a lot.
Okay.
But you've also been able to clean the slate and fix your mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
whether it be, you know, certain draft picks or acquire certain players, you've been able to fix those.
Gotcha.
So I want to see if you're able to take this team to the next level. For me, the next level would be getting this team to a 50 to potentially 53 win season.
Mm-hmm.
So for that, so I want to see how, but I want you to come in, if I'm Ted Leonsis, I want to know, what's your plan? You know, I want to know, are you going to sign Martin Gortat? How much are you going to sign him for? Okay, Trevor Ariza is a free agent. How much are you going to sign him for? Or do we think that Otto Porter has developed to the point where we can let Ariza go and Otto Porter can step in and be potentially start to build him up as that key third piece for this team?
They ain't going to do that.
And also, I want to know, what's your plan for being able to lock down Bradley Beal? Because he'll be coming out of his rookie contract in a minute.
Oh, that's good. That's right.
He has the looks of he'll be an all-star in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, next season. Looks like he's in that position.
So what's your plan for locking down Bradley Beal and potentially bringing in another third scorer/starter to help get this team to that 50-55 win season? Randy Whitman. You had an incredible opportunity after Flip Saunders was gone. You've emphasized defense, so I like the foundation you've built.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see what you're doing with, you know, it's a free flowing offense that isn't dominated by one player. So I want to see what's next. How are you able to mold Otto Porter to help bring him to being a star player? I want to see. How do you create an offense where you incorporate more of Nene and Gortat,
a high-low
with those two guys? So, yeah, for me, two-year deal with a third year, which is a club option for both of them.
And you want a club option? So you want a three-year deal?
No, they definitely 2 years guaranteed with a club option for the third.
Mm.
Depending on how they fare out these first 2 years, Ted Leonsis has the ability to pick up that third year. For both of them.
See, I would give him a long term deal.
Nah.
I'll give Whitman a long term deal.
Nah, because this is the thing. If you let go of Grunfeld and you hire a new GM, he's gonna want to bring in his guy.
Gotcha.
So 2 year with third for club option for both of them. That's what I would do.
All right. Well, let's go to some more playoff talk. Last night, playoff games. I mean, you mentioned the Patriots. And the Lance series, these are teams the Wizards may have an opportunity to play. One of these teams the Wizards will be playing, excuse me. Atlanta beats the Pacers, now up 3-2, going into Indiana and winning and pretty much dominating that game. I think they had a 30-point lead at the time.
Yeah, they won 107-97. The game wasn't as close as the score would lead you to believe. At one point, they were up by 30 points. And it was miraculous just how subdued Indiana was. Roy Hibbert was totally
another Hoyer that's like disappointing.
He had one block, no points, no rebounds in 12 minutes. 7'2", all star.
Don't make it sound so bad though.
I can't sugarcoat it. It is. It was what it was. You know, you're a team that your success was predicated on playing inside out with Roy Hibbert and David West. You've totally gone away from that. You can't tell me that the Atlanta Hawks coaching staff and players have been able to institute a system which has forced you to go away from your strength.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me that. So Frank Vogel, if you saw Larry Bird's face, Frank Vogel looked like if this team gets fired, I don't think it'll be a quick – I mean, if this team it exits out of the first round. I don't think it'll be a quick fire for Frank Vogel. I think what'll happen is you'll have Larry Bird and Frank Vogel have a series of conversations over like a 2 week period, and then you'll hear sometime before the NBA finals that Frank Vogel's been let go.
Do you think he'll be let go if Atlanta knocks him out?
If Atlanta knocks him out, absolutely, because you have to look at Atlanta is not a team that has the best talent. Look at outside Jeff Teague and Paul Millsap.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Korver, yeah, he's a spot-up shooter. But what talent does this team have?
Yeah. Not with you.
They're missing their coming into the season, their best player, Al Horford. So they're missing Al Horford, the guy who's probably their best player.
Yeah, but I mean, they're playing small ball, and that's been the situation. But anyway, Well, I guess we can go to another. Let's go to another series. That series is like boring the bejesus out of me. Did Paul George get robbed or something?
Yeah, they're saying that he was, a large sum of money and a platinum NBA All-Star ring was stolen from his house. So that's letting you know that it was an inside job.
Yeah.
See, it was an inside job.
Probably. Ninjas, man. You can't trust ninjas. Yeah. I tell you, boy, your homies, man.
Or some girl he's been dealing with that's scandalous.
Yeah, we all chicks are, most chicks are scandalous. Spurs, let's go to Spurs. Spurs, big win after Vince Carter had that big shot in game 3. Spurs bounced back, taking game 4 from the Mavs.
Tied up 2-2. Tied 2-2. Because these teams are such rivals, and even though it's 1-8, you got to throw that out of the window. Rick Carlisle's a terrific coach.
Ain't he, though?
He's a terrific coach.
Awesome coach.
He's getting the most out of kind of a ragtag group of players. You know, Dirk isn't what he used to be. He's not at the NBA. He's not at the MVP level that he was before. Monte Ellis is a guy who's kind of cast it off because of, you know, his erratic play. His mentality's tightening up the ball from anywhere. Center, they have like a three-headed monster with Samuel Dalembert, Brandon Wright. I forgot who I was. You coming off the bench, a guy who, when I see...
I say, what could have been?
What could have been?
I know. What could have been? I know.
When I see Vince Carter play,
jumper's knee, man. That jumper's knee too. He didn't maximize his talent.
I know. When I see him, I see Kobe. I see Jordan. I see LeBron. I see D Wade. I see a guy who should have, and he'll go down in history as one of the top 25 scorers in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see a guy who dominated at the talent. Who didn't play to his talent all the time. Who played down to his competition at times.
When I look at Vince Carter, I look at a guy just like you. I kind of look at him like I look at Tracy McGrady. Tracy McGrady was injuries, but the same thing kind of applies to him. It was like a career that could have been. You know what I mean? Like, there's a time where these guys were really looking to a point. They were at a point where they could have been like
the players that we talked about as a generation.
Yeah, just as big as Kobe. And obviously now Kobe, you know, because Kobe was around that same time, and they were all being compared to each other. I look at these individuals like that. And Vince Carter was definitely at that situation. You know, Toronto went to Jersey, played with Jason Kidd. You know, and I felt like in Jersey, played with Jason Kidd, he wasn't ready to be like the guy. You know, that was still Jason Kidd's team, but he was content because Jason Kidd did so much and they just made it so easy that he didn't, you know, take his game to the next level. You know, he left Toronto. You know, he had to carry Toronto. Which I think was good for him because he needed to kind of do that.
Absolutely.
Because in Carolina, so he didn't have that mindset. But going to Jersey was, I think, in a way, though he had some success in terms of, you know, playoffs. They got to go to playoffs and do some other things. As an individual player, I think it hurt him.
That could be said.
It hurt him because I felt like he didn't have the drive to be the best because he's playing with Jason Kidd, a guy who does so much for you.
I think that's fair. That's totally fair to say. But like I said, when I think Vince Carter, I think of what could have been and not what he is.
Yeah, I totally agree. But let's go to the Heat sweeping the Bobcats. Michael, my man LeBron in like game 3 gave Jordan a look and dunked that ball.
He said he didn't.
He did that. He did that. But, you know what he was doing.
Well,
you saw the dunk.
Yeah.
What was he doing? He was looking right at that little bald-headed fudger.
He was looking in that direction. Maybe he's looking into the crowd.
Say whatever you want to say. Go ahead.
That was the most boring series out of all of us. We all knew Miami is starting to shape into form as we all thought they would and round to that championship four and make a fourth run to the NBA championship.
Yeah, and they're in stride. And they look like, honestly, the best team in the East. It looks like they can cakewalk to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I don't know about cakewalk because Brooklyn has size that can give them
trouble. I think they'll get the real Miami Heat. I think Brooklyn will get the real Miami Heat.
If Dwayne Wade is fully healthy, then it will be a 4-2 series Heat moving on.
4-2? I see 4-2. I think they have a lot to prove. They'll be 4-1. I think it'll be a dominating effort. I really do. I think it'll be a dominating effort.
LeBron's going to have to bring it 30 points every game.
I think he will. Okay. That team, Joe Johnson's going to have an awesome finals.
And that's not going to happen.
Eastern Conference playoffs.
We all know that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Eastern Conference semi, I think. He needs to have an awesome showing. let's go to tonight's game. Talked about the Clippers. Obviously, it's going to be a hard game for them.
Obviously, 10:30.
Clippers, 10:30, Clippers, Golden State.
That's going to be the game that everyone, the eye of the nation, will be on that in L.A. to watch to see how the Clippers come out and play. Mark Jackson said that if he were a Clippers fan, he would Clippers fans should protest and not show up.
I thought it was hilarious.
I thought it was hilarious, too. because I know you could tell Mark Jackson was kind of posturing,
yeah.
You know, trying to – he was trolling a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's funny.
Yeah, he knows everyone's going to show up.
Yeah, he knows – yeah, what a joke.
Yeah, so that I fully believe that the Clippers galvanize around what happened this afternoon, pull it off, and, yeah, I think the Clippers pull this one off tonight.
Yeah, I think Clippers do.
Not in the blowout. But I think
– Well, I'll say this much. It won't be because of, you know, these players have feel in a particular way. I saw something in game four. I think the Clippers need to be concerned. Steph Curry, like, he woke up. That Jay looked good again. It's like the old Steph. Like Steph against San Antonio. If the Clippers aren't careful, I see a big game for Steph. I see a 35-point game for Stephen Curry. I think they've done a good job against him in the prior games. I think Collison has done a good job making sure he can test every shot and stays in front of Stephen Curry. But I think he's got his J off, and he was shooting shots that I've grown to see him make since Davidson, and now and even last season against the San Antonio Spurs when they lost that series. He was making big shot after big shot. So I think the Clippers should be very concerned.
That's fair, but I just think that Clippers pull this one off tonight. Just everything that's going on, I think they galvanize as a team, as a brotherhood, and pull this one out.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I just know that number 30 though, it's coming.
Yeah, I apologize for cutting you off, but ultimately this is a series that probably the second most entertaining series outside of the Houston Rockets and Portland Trail Blazers.
Yeah,
that goes seven.
Yeah, the scoring
because it goes seven. So yeah,
I think the Rockets series. Oh, we'll talk about that. You think it's gonna go? Well, we'll talk about that. Memphis OKC 2-2.
2-2.
Big game by Reggie Jackson, who is a very selfish ball player. I'm gonna say that right now.
Wow, selfish ball player.
Oh, Reggie Jackson's lucky he made them shots. If people talk about Westbrook, but that dude,
he was feeling it. Yeah, when you feeling it, you gotta
that
go.
That dude is just as bad as Westbrook. Just bad.
Game five for them. Back in Oklahoma City, I think OKC goes up 3-2.
Yeah,
because I think for the simple reason that Reggie Jackson, his confidence is built up, and he'll be that third guy that's able to get the points in the second unit is in, and kind of relieve some of the stress and the ball handling, take some of the attention away from Durant and Westbrook.
Yeah, I'm going to go with OKC. I think Westbrook will bounce back and have a good game. He struggled last game. And he was pressing. And what I like about Westbrook is everybody's telling him to do something. He's not doing it. He's doing what he wants to do. I appreciate that. I really
Westbrook,
do.
Westbrook, he's a badass.
I really appreciate him.
That's a true competitor.
Yeah, I really appreciate him because I feel like, you know, everybody, I was negative on Westbrook, you know, a couple years ago and saying that, you know, he's not deferring to Kevin Durant enough. But at the same time, for real, what I respect about him is that he's not letting the media dictate what he wants to do on the court. You know, I remember, like, you know, growing up a Laker fan and even having to endure Kobe Bryant, you know, when Shaq was there. Thank you, Shaq, for letting me endure him. I appreciate it. Now you're gone. I can't endure that dude. But, like, Kobe Bryant, the media would, like, get on him. Folks would get on him. Then he would change. And he'll have a game where he just passes the ball all the time. Right? He would
that
have those
Kobe
games.
Trying to be a smart
Yeah, artist. But still, that affected him. It still affected him. Westbrook does not care. Like, these people don't bother him. He's not trying to prove a point. He's doing him. And that's what I appreciate about Westbrook. So, yeah, Westbrook, man, keep being aggressive. Those shots will fall. Once they fall, everybody will look at you and say, wow, you're a supreme talent. Hating on you because you're off. And it happens.
I still believe that OKC would be better off with a playmaking point guard.
He's not a point guard. He's a two-guard.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying moving Westbrook to the two. That's why.
That's why Harden was such a good fit for him. Because Harden was a guy who facilitated while he was in OKC.
And if Sam Presti had listened to my suggestion, they should have got Michael Carter Williams in the draft and moved Russell Westbrook to the two. But hey, I'm just a guy who doesn't know what he's talking about.
All right, man. Tomorrow on Hate to Gay. Tomorrow night's games. Brooklyn and Toronto. Who's going to take this game, Will?
Toronto.
3-2.
I think Toronto takes this one. This Brooklyn team, they have spats. They have moments where they look old.
Yeah.
They look very old. Lapses on defense. As I stated before, if you have to depend on Joe Johnson to pull it out for you, you're in a lot of trouble. Even though Deron Williams has stepped up his play, it's become more consistent. But I just think that Toronto, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan is coming.
He's coming. He's on that trajectory with Bradley Beal.
Mm-hmm.
Those two are going to be two of the top point guard shooting guards in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, maybe. I'm trying to get the other two guards.
Dwayne Wade?
Yeah, he's older, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. As far as the young guys that are coming up.
Yeah, you might be right. Maybe two of the top point guards. Shooting guards, excuse me.
Yeah, I think Toronto pulls it out on Wednesday.
Oh, let's go. Let's go to Will's exciting. Well, I'm not agree with you. I think Toronto will pull it out. That don't sound right either.
There you go.
They'll win. They'll win on Wednesday. And go 3-2. I think Brooklyn will take, my opinion, I think Brooklyn will take the next game. This game's that 7. Portland versus Houston.
This is a tough one. Yeah, this is a tough one. I'm going to go with Houston. I think Dwight Howard, for one moment in his life, isn't goofy and comes in with a certain level of concentration. And on defense, he becomes that eraser that they need in the middle. Kevin McHale made a very good decision with bringing Omar Ashik, putting him into the starting lineup beside Dwight Howard. I think once those guys start to play on the court at the same time together more, they'll be able to play off each other offensively and also defensively with their rotation. So that's why I think that the Houston Rockets pull out this game.
I think Houston Rockets will win this game. I think James Harden will come out and will play play at a high level. Like you said, I think Dwight Howard. This series is important to Dwight Howard because they brought him here to get a championship. To contend for. This has to be Dwight Howard's show. It has to be. He has to show dominance. He just can't be great. LaMarcus Aldridge has been dominant. He has to be dominant. You know, he has to be 30 and 20. And this is the only time I'm agreeing with Shaq. I think Shaq's a little too hard on this kid, but 30 and 20 in this game. You know what I mean? Because if they could take it to Portland, I think that game was going to be Harden's game for real. I think that game in Portland is going to be Harden's game, and Harden's going to get that team to a game 7. But this game 5, it's Dwight's game. Dwight has to take over this game.
Okay. No.
All right. It's time for another commercial break.
Oh, sorry. Score. Wizards are up 28-16, 9 minutes and
28-16?
Yeah, 9 minutes and 26 seconds left in the second quarter.
Hey, we got some talk about Wiz, kids. Some talk about good job. Get this serious. Get that money, horny. I don't sound right. Get that money, horny.
Hey, man.
Get that money.
Whatever feels right for you, man.
Get that money. Make that money. All right. Hey, time for a commercial break. We get back. We're going to talk about the Redskins schedule, their new schedule.
Wally's favorite subject.
Exactly.
Washington's football team.
Washington Redskins, man. I know. We're talking about Donald Stern. I'm still calling my team the Redskins. Anyway, it's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know, you have no idea. you don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
It's a great song.
It is. This is the last segment for this week, and we're talking Wally's favorite subject, which is Washington's football team.
Yeah, the Washington Redskins. Great team. Great schedule. You know what? I don't get how why this was so big. Like, people got so hectic about the schedule being coming out. And
well,
I was like,
it's,
wow.
It's the NFL. It's the NFL. The NFL makes an event out of everything. You know, they make an event out of free agency. They make an event out of the release of the schedule. They make an event out of the draft, EAs, the start of training camp. Some people are tired of the NFL event, but we all know that it's only 17 weeks and every game counts. We want to have information year around. So know when they know everything that's going on with their team.
No, it's an interesting situation. It's interesting. I didn't feel for me. I mean, somebody was like, "Wally, you on the schedule coming out?" Like, no. I'm gonna wait like 2 days after, and then I'm gonna see who the Redskins are playing. Like, that day is gonna be something crucial. Like, I was like, the NBA playoffs are on. Why would I be worried about the Redskins?
NFL Network had a 3 hour long
get their lives in order
show for the draft.
Lives in order. Like, who cares?
There's a resounding large amount of people who do care.
Well, obviously, they're
but anyway,
your lives are very sad. I'm sorry. I apologize, people. Huh? Sorry.
Your team. They start off September 1st in Houston against the Texans.
Oh,
the Fox.
Yeah. Texans have no quarterback. I love it. It's a W.
It's
a W.
So, do you see a lot of W's for your
team?
Man,
16-0. 16-0.
There you go. There you have it.
16-0.
There you have it.
We are going for perfection.
But no, realistically.
16-0. I know what I just said. I argue with you. Seriously. I'm serious. Call me 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. If you have a team and you think my team is going to lose to, I will debate you and you will lose. Continue.
Okay. but no. Do you think, because, you know, the Redskins had a fairly bad schedule last year. If they were drafting, they would have had the second overall pick. So that lets you know the strength of their their record.
Yeah, man.
And we all know that the NFL tends to schedule lightly for teams who have the worst of record.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about the strength of Washington's schedule?
I think the schedule was fairly simple, fairly easy to me. Well, not easy, but compared to last season, I mean, anytime you see the Texans, who came off struggling last season, don't have a quarterback right now, in my opinion. May draft one or may not. Jaguars, yeah, self-explanatory. Titans, Vikings. I like what they have out there. Now, obviously, they're going to be playing the NFC West, which is a tough division.
I was just about to say
that. Which is a tough division.
So that's four tough games right there.
It's okay. I mean, that's why we brought D-Jax to town. You know what I mean? D-Jax is there to kind of, you know, make it difficult. But some of these games are at home. Like, I'm glad we're playing Seattle at home. That's the game I want to see big time. I want to see Seattle. That's the game I want. I want Seattle.
Yeah, and I
want
I Super Bowl champion. That's the game that I think the world wants. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson versus RG3.
Yeah.
That's the game that everyone.
No, I didn't get the world wants to see Colts, like RG3 versus Andrew Luck. That's the game
I think people want to see guys from that draft class go against each other.
Yeah. So it's an interesting schedule. I like it. I like the schedule compared to last season. We got the Buccaneers on our schedule. I mean, good God. I mean,
yeah, speaking of the Buccaneers, I think that's a team that's going to. That's implode. Headed for struggle land.
Yeah.
You go with Josh McNown as your quarterback.
Yeah. God bless your soul.
Yeah. Lovie Smith. I don't know what the hell you're thinking.
Lovey dovey. It's a shame. Got fired for this.
Yeah. But are you surprised? You know, you made a reference to DeSean Jackson. You know, the big offseason acquisition for Washington football team. He was released by the Eagles. Are you surprised that neither one of the games are Monday night or Sunday
night?
Yes,
I'm surprised. It's ridiculous. It's freaking ridiculous. He should be. It should be prime time. The Eagles, especially in Philadelphia, that should have been a Monday night game. At least a Monday night game. Is it because we had a bad season? Maybe. I don't know.
I think that's the primary
I can't
reason.
Call it. You're going to have the – I mean, it's not – and they would do this to us. When Vic's not here, they would, like, take away Monday night from us. Like, this is – now it's the Eagles. Vic's not on Monday night with the Eagles. Like, this is great. This is our chance to finally get him back on Monday night, get the Eagles back. But no – Vic's gone. They want to give us probably a Fox game of the week. You know what I mean? That's probably the national game of the week or something like that. So, yeah, I'm very disappointed in the NFL. I swore that game, at least that game would have been a Monday night game. Sunday night, Monday night game, max.
Yeah, if you had to ask me, I would have thought it would be a Monday night game just because, A, the history of the Eagles and Washington football team, Monday night, we all know the massacre that happened. And then, you know, having said that, now I see why it potentially wasn't a Monday night game. Because last year to kick off the season, didn't they play last year Monday night to kick off the season?
Yeah,
they did. So you don't want that same matchup Monday night.
It's all about ratings. Who cares about redundancy?
It's about ratings, but at the same time, you know, you have a team that was coming off of a struggle, specifically Washington's football team. Then you had, you know, the Eagles who made a playoff run. And gained the notoriety of being one of the top quarterbacks yet, even though
it's
his play
Deshaun
was
Jackson
highest.
Versus Chip Kelly. Gangbanger versus coach who doesn't like ninjas. Like, I'm playing with you. I'm just playing with you.
Yeah,
who doesn't like a gangbanger from Compton. Watts.
I still don't see it. I think if it were a game that were the second time they meet is when. Towards the end of the season. So I think that game it's not a 4 o'clock game, so no, it can't be flexed.
It's the second game of the season. It's a 4 o'clock. It's a 4:30 game.
What the
The last game is it's a 4:30.
Okay, so it has the potential to be flexed.
But who wants that game to be flexed?
Like if it comes down to the division, then people
want
to see.
You want him, and you want Deshaun Jackson in Philly. Not in D.C. playing the Eagles. In Philly,
Roger
it holds
Goodell
more
doesn't
clout.
Play, doesn't care.
Man, I got two index fingers for Roger Goodell. Not middle, but index fingers for Roger Goodell. That's how I feel. Predictions, man. Record predictions. You already know what I think. I said 16-0.
16-0. Realistically, just looking at the landscape of the NFC. No, I think Deshaun Jackson is good for about five wins for you all. So yeah. I see 8-8.
8-8? Will has 8-8. Does that win the division?
500. No, it doesn't
win. Who wins the division?
To be honest with you, I really think that the Cowboys get over the hump.
Okay,
this year.
Now I'm done with this dude. Because the Cowboys can play the same teams we play.
How's the Cowboys?
They can play the same teams we play.
I understand that. But
they play the NFC West.
I understand that.
They're losing too.
But with Rob Marinelli as the defensive coordinator, I think that this team gets over the hump this year.
All right. You heard it here first. Will picks the Cowboys or the Washington Redskins.
Right for now.
You heard it here first.
For now. We don't know how the draft plays out. We don't know how
Wally has chosen the best team in the East in the NFC East, the Washington Redskins.
The best team was the Philadelphia Eagles last year.
The best team on paper right now is the Washington Redskins.
Oh, okay.
All right, I don't need that little Philadelphia Eagles stuff. The best team is the Washington Redskins. Anyway, it's about time to wrap the show up, but make sure you listen to our show on our official Urban Sports Team website, which is www.walio.podbeam.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com.
Okay, once again, we want to thank you all for listening to us. If you're listening to us on the podcast or if you listen to us live, you guys are the reason why we do this show. Peace and love, and we out.
It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.